So today we're reading from John chapter 1, starting at verse 6, and I'd encourage you to have your Bibles open as I read this. If you don't have a Bible, there'll be people handing them out. So from verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I'm just going to pray for David now. Lord, I thank you that we can come and worship you this morning and read your word. And I pray that as we hear David speak to us now, would we be open to hearing what you have to say to us, Lord? Would we grow in our relationship with you? And would we be blessed through what David says? And Lord, I just pray that you would fill David with the Spirit as he comes to speak with us as well, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Talitha. Talitha, who's actually helping Katie with leading our choir, which so looking forward to next week sharing. And thank you, just band and Olivia and just what Simon was sharing there really moved me on Tuesday night when we were praying as elders, and again just now. I've been thinking about that little phrase, that the word of peace that Jesus brought, peace be still. That the word of peace was more powerful than the storm. You know, the carol we're going to be thinking about alongside the passage that we've just read is called Silent Night. It was written by an Austrian priest, originally in German. Stille Nacht. Stille Nacht. It's reminding me of that peace be still. Stille Nacht. You know, one of the things that makes this Silent Night maybe one of the most famous carols in the world is not just that so many people know it and sing it. We've just sung it here. I've sung it on the streets. Going to be doing that again on Wednesday night. We might even sing it in the local pub. I've certainly done that in the past. You know, people have sung it all over the world in different languages. But there are records of it being sung on the first Christmas of World War I in the trenches. You know, I was reading this week as I was thinking about this carol that Martin Clark, who's a lecturer at music at the Open University, said that in his book on the truce, historian Stanley Wintraub identifies the singer as Walter Kirchhoff, a German officer and sometime member of the Berlin Opera. And Kirchhoff's singing of the carol, Silent Night, in both German and English is credited with encouraging the exchange of songs, greetings, and gifts between the opposing soldiers on that first Christmas of the First World War. And while there is still debate among historians about the nature and scope of the truce, Silent Night is firmly established in popular imagination as the soundtrack for this remarkable event. And actually, it got captured in 2014 in an advert. And you might remember this, I didn't, but I was quite moved watching this. So we're just going to watch this little 3-minute video.
Jenkins, Oakley, Knight.
I'm political! I'm political!
Jim?
Jim! No, don't do it!
Halt! Es nicht bewaffnet! Nein, not so!
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Sie ist schön. Schön.
It's quite moving. Felt it was right to run it to the end, give credit where it's due. But you know, as we think about the theme of peace and receiving peace today, you know, none of us here are on the battlefields of World War I. None of us were there. But I think probably many of us do feel a sense of turmoil around us. Chaos, noise, tension. I'd imagine many of us either feel hurt and wounded in some way or know people who feel hurt and wounded. We live and work in places that might not be the Western Front, but sometimes feel like battlefields with colleagues, neighbors, even family. And even in our own hearts, it can feel like a battlefield at times, an unheavenly place in need of a heavenly peace, a dark place in need of light. So I want to ask this morning, what brings heavenly peace into an unheavenly place? What turns an unholy darkness into a holy night like we've been singing about? And is it possible for that light and peace to be more than just momentary, for a day or for a moment? You know, we spoke earlier in the service, you know, as Olivia was reading from Isaiah 9, about endless peace. Wow! Endless peace. Do you long for that and for those you know and love? And is that even possible? Well, our carol and our reading are full of this theme of light. And as we're going to see, it's a light that brings peace. In fact, not just for a moment or for Christmas or for occasional days. It's a peace that is for life and not just for Christmas. And that is what we're going to explore in our carol and in our reading. So first, receive heavenly light and peace. You know, our carol starts, doesn't it? Silent night, holy night. And I just want to be a bit realistic here because I just tell you some things about that first Christmas And it might highlight just how stark some of the language is in the carol. You know, the reality was that first Christmas that happened in any enemy-occupied territory. It happened during a census which involved mass movement of people across the place. It was so chaotic in Bethlehem that this couple who were pregnant could not find a place to stay. They ended up having the baby with the animals, and it probably looked to anyone else like a holy, unholy mess. It was even a child born out of wedlock, which at the time in the culture was, to say the least, complicated. And the reality is that it probably wasn't silent. You know, birth rarely is. Babies often aren't. And add to that the animals. And yet we all love this idea, don't we? We love the idea of all being calm, all bright, kind of picture postcard carol kind of Christmas card scene. But in my experience, probably in yours, very rarely is all calm and all bright. So how can we experience this heavenly light and heavenly peace in what is often not calm and bright? Well, the carol deliberately sets up a contrast that actually the writer of the gospel we've been looking at these weeks, John, starts his kind of his gospel with this contrast of darkness and light. And in the carol, we have silent night, holy night, 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 repeated twice at the start of every verse. And then every verse goes on after that to talk about the light. Now, I don't know about you, but light is not the word I associate with night. You know, night is a time of darkness, not light. And in fact, often we don't associate night and darkness with holy. Nightmares, night terrors. There was a sense of darkness in that place. You know, there were dark times, the dark ages, the dark web, an unholy place. So what turns an unholy darkness into a holy night? Well, look at our reading. Look at what the Apostle John writes in John 1, verse 9. He says this, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." It is the true light that gives light to everyone that came into the world that made that night a holy night, a night that could be talked about with reference after reference of light bursting into the world. It's an evening, a night that actually is described as a dawn. A great dawn that kind of breaks out over the entire world. You know, when the dawn comes, we've got a picture here, it kind of comes on everyone. The true light gives light to everyone. The dawn comes and it shines on the whole city, on people, whatever they think about God, whatever they think about the light. And the reality is that some people don't greet the dawn with a great, oh yeah, it's like, oh, is the dawn, and the duvet goes over the head. Wish I'd had blackout blinds, closed it. The dawn comes to everyone, but our reading makes it clear that not everyone welcomes the light. John goes on and says this. He says, "He himself came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They didn't, as it were, welcome the light. It came to them. It shone in the darkness that gave light to everyone, but they didn't welcome it. And yet we read and hear and sing in our carols and in other Bible readings of people who did welcome the light. Of those who, as it were, pulled back the curtains. And again, we got this great picture of someone pulling back the curtains. And you know, when you do that, you don't need to do anything else other than open the curtains. The light comes in. The light is powerful. The light has power to drive out the darkness as we welcome the light. So why don't we always pull back the curtains? Well, I think the shepherds help us here. In the second verse of Carol, Silent Night, it says, Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. It's the scene of the angel appearing to the shepherds. And even just with one angel, in Luke chapter 2, we read that the shepherds were terrified. Angels are sometimes described as warriors of light. They come from the holy, holy, holy God Almighty. The one who is light in all its brilliance. The one who sends his messengers. And even as they appear, the shepherds, they kind of just go, wow. But their next reaction in the presence of the light is an awareness of their unholiness. So often we don't realize how messy the room is until the light goes on. So often too, we need the light of God's holy presence to reveal the mess in our lives. As even as we were praying, I was thinking, oh Lord, have mercy on this and on that. As we were just worshiping God, we need your light to shine in our hearts to reveal the parts in us that aren't right. But when we do that, we get afraid of being close to a holy God. The shepherds quake. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the message is one that is to an unholy people good news. Because it's a message about the one that gets again referred to at the end of verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. Christ the Savior is born. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. It's a message to the shepherds and to us of don't be afraid. And then there's this amazing sudden choir that appears. I was at a concert the other day, and the way they did the concert, they had a kind of a soloist singing the bit about the angel, and then someone kind of recounting as a shepherd, and then suddenly the whole choir came in for the angels, and just kind of suddenly they took off. And I thought, wow, it must have been so shocking and surprising for the shepherds to suddenly see a great choir of angels singing glory to God in the heavens. Wow. And peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace for unholy people. A peace made possible with people with God because the Savior had been born. A peace made possible for you with others and me with others because a Savior has been born. Christ the Savior is born, says the carol, echoing the words of the angels. Light has come into the world, light that exposes the sin in each of our lives. We need the light. We need to realize that we are unholy, but we need to realize that on that holy night, a Savior was born who turns you and I, the unholy ones, into people who cannot fear the presence of God, but welcome the light in. Yes, Lord. John goes on later in John chapter 3, and he says this in John 3, 19 to 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You see, light has come into our world, and I want to encourage you, welcome it without fear. The angel said, don't be afraid, because it comes with love. It comes in the form of a Savior who's come to help you and your neighbor and your colleague and your friend. I think the third verse of Silent Night really helps us with this. The third verse of Silent Night says, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God loves pure light, radiant beams from his holy face. The true light that gives light to everyone had come into the world. The Savior loves pure light. Because here's these things you need to know about God. The Apostle John loves to refer back to them time and again. And in his epistles, you maybe see it most clearly. He says in 1 John 1:5, God is light. It's his big declaration. He's seen the light. He was there when Jesus was kind of amazingly transfigured. Maybe that's why it stuck with him more than anything else as he started his gospel. But also, we read in 1 John 4 that God is, say it with me, God is love. Love's pure light that shines out of Jesus. That is why we don't need to be afraid of the light. The light comes to help us to deal with our things in our lives and the lives of others, to actually help bring peace. To bring peace in our lives where we need it, because actually without the light and the power of that light to transform us from the inside out, we can't know peace. Jesus is the one who is the true light, the one who, as that's a verse 3 goes on, says, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. The light comes to bring grace to you, to your neighbor, to your family, your friend. Grace that can redeem the mess that you and I make of our lives. The mess we've made of the world. The grace that can transform our relationship with God and our relationship with others, that can bring peace. Peace. In an unheavenly place. You know, I was thinking about this little phrase at the very beginning of the carol, you know, it's repeated twice, and it sleeps in heavenly peace. Sleeps in heavenly peace. I've been thinking, what is it that brings a heavenly peace to an unheavenly place like that stable in Bethlehem? Like your heart and my heart. Places where it is not all calm and all is bright, because that doesn't usually describe our homes or our hearts. They're much more like an unheavenly mess of thoughts and feelings. So how can we experience and receive that light, that peace? Well, like the light is a person, the true light is Jesus Christ. So too, as Olivia said when we lit the candle, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It is a person that comes and brings peace into our life. A person who, as he comes into our life, as we welcome him in, as we draw back the curtains, we say, yes, we receive you. It's that person of peace who comes, and like he does with the storm, in his power, he says, peace, be still, still enough. Even in a battlefield, his word can bring peace. Even in whatever you're going through right now, the voice and word of peace is more powerful than the storm, because it's Jesus' voice. And it's his presence and power that comes and brings it into our lives. It's the king who's speaking. The king who can come and with a word completely change what's going on in us and around us. You know, I've been very moved reading a bit of Thomas A. Kempis's famous book on the Imitations of Christ, and there's a little section in it where he talks about, you know, talking with Jesus, and he says this, he says, when Jesus speak not inwardly unto us, our comfort is nothing worse. When we don't know God's presence or feel him speaking to us, we can be all like in a storm tossed at sea. But then he says this, but if Jesus speak but one word, we feel much consolation. Because the word of Jesus is a word of power that brings peace. As I was trying to prepare this message, this kind of often happens. I either really have to apply my message before I preach it, or sometimes during the time I'm preaching it, or sometimes after it. But there's always a kind of crisis point when I'm thinking, right, David, you've got to apply this to yourself now. And this week it was before. There was a day this week where I woke up and it just felt like the day was overwhelming in the amount that I didn't get done on the previous day and that needed doing. Do you ever have days like that? I just felt overwhelmed. I just told Laura and the Lord, I just feel overwhelmed. In fact, I was partly overwhelmed because I didn't feel yet I was as prepared on my talk on peace as I would like to have been at that point in the week. How ironic is that? And so I asked some friends to pray for me. I said, I feel overwhelmed. Will you pray? And one of them sent through this text, John 16:33. It's up here on the screen. I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And they added into it this. They said, we gain peace from being in his presence, the Prince of Peace's presence, not from having our trouble taken away from us. Isn't that amazing? We gain peace from his presence, his powerful presence. We gain peace from the presence of the King who can speak into the situation and calm the storm that's so often in our hearts. But it doesn't always mean that the trouble is taken away from us. That was true in Jesus' life. That's true in yours and in mine and in others. But he can bring peace. And this is why we need to realize that when we think about receiving Jesus' light and peace, when we think about welcoming him into our lives, this isn't just a message if you're here for the first time and saying, please let Jesus in. This is a daily thing for us to do. What transformed that moment the other day, this week, when I felt overwhelmed was actually remembering, no, it's not me getting everything done that's going to bring the peace. It's not all those different troubles going away. It's Jesus' presence and power. Come, Lord Jesus. Come again into my life. I need as a little wonderful devotion that I know my mom used to use and many maybe use. It's called daily light. It's called daily light because you need it daily. Daily, let the light into your life. Let his peace come and fill you. And then, and I just want to end with this, as we receive his light, we are meant to be channels sharing heavenly light and peace with others. Sharing heavenly light and peace with others, pointing to it. You know, like in the ad, it ended and this was great. Christmas is for sharing. Amen? It's for sharing, not just a chocolate bar. Wonderful as that is. Fantastic blessing it can be. But it's sharing the light and peace of Christmas. It's about sharing that there is good news in the trouble and the turmoil and the tensions and the chaos that we feel in our world around us and in our own heart. It's remembering that we can point to the light like John the Baptist did in our reading. Let's go back to verse 6 and 7. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He was a witness saying, hey, look, this is the light. I'm not the light. That's the light. And you and I have the opportunity to do that. Even this week, to say, look, there is one who can bring light and peace in whatever you're going through. I'd love you to come and hear about him next week. You can say to your friend. You can say it to your kids as you talk about this Christmas. And Amanda and I are just doing a lunch for some parents after the service, a chance to just encourage us to think, how do we keep helping in families and homes that light come as we seek to raise the next generation? You know, how do we share what we have received of Christ's light and love in our lives? And I want to say this. What's amazing about Christmas is that though God was over all the emperors and empires and the census and everything, he worked in such a simple, powerful way of an ordinary couple having a baby. Don't miss the power of small things to be part of what God uses for saving people, for bringing his light and love. You might think, oh, that's just a small thing, saying a prayer for a neighbor, a colleague. It's not a small thing with God. You might think, oh, I'm just giving them a cup of water or a cap hamper or maybe just a listening ear. But the thing is, as Mother Teresa said, I love this quote, it comes up in Alpha, if you've done the Alpha course, great course, by the way. Not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And that turns them with the power of God into great things. I love another, Mother Teresa worked in India for many years, and another missionary in India was a lady called Amy Carmichael, a very amazing woman, and she was once struggling to love someone. And she was by a pool, and she saw that the water that flowed into the pool was the water that flowed out of the pool. The pool had no water of its own. And she found herself thinking, as she needed love again to love this person and situation, she thought, if love flows in, love will flow out. Let love flow in. And I want to say, if you draw the curtains, if light comes into your heart, if you receive the Prince of Peace, if you allow his peace over all your life, if light comes in, light will shine out of our lives. If peace comes in, we will be able to be channels of peace in our broken world. We will be able to, like that soldier who was able to take the first step. Someone must have done it. I don't know what it was like when there was that unofficial truce. Someone must have taken great risk to move towards the other person, which is, of course, what Jesus did on that holy night. Christ the Savior was born with great power but amazing vulnerability and weakness. He came as a baby into a dark, hostile world where, John says, even his own didn't receive him. He came and moved the Prince of Peace to initiate peace, to bring light in the darkness. He came as the King, as a baby, not to just conquer with kind of force and brutality, but to conquer by the power of love, to die on a cross for you and I, for your friends, family, neighbors, and colleagues, and to rise again, the eternal King, the Christ, the long-awaited deliverer, the one who can bring peace like no other, endless peace for you and for those you know and love. And so let's be those that welcome him again, even now, and share him again this Christmas. Chatting on our Alpha table this week with a member of this church whose brother has been seeking the Lord for many years and read the Bible but not really ever come to faith yet. Invited him to many carol services. He said for 41 years he's been inviting him. But he said, this year I invited him, and he said he's going to come. Isn't that amazing? Who might this be the year where you, as you just again say, here, there's hope, there's peace, there's something here that I would love you to experience. Who might God want to work in around you? And so I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And as we come back, as it were, to the heart of worship, that it's all about Jesus, the one who is the true light, the one who is the Prince of Peace. Let's come and invite him afresh into our lives. Why don't you stand with me if you're able? And you might just want to hold your hands out open in front of you. It's an Advent prayer. It's the last prayer in the Bible. It just says, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, is what it means. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Do you want to just say that with me if you're able? Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, bring your light, your peace, your presence and your power into our lives afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us be like John the Baptist, your witnesses, pointing to you, sharing the light and peace we've received, I pray. Move in power, Lord, we pray, for your name's sake. To you be all the glory. Amen.